طب ايه قسم كيبهم؟ قسم كيبهم؟ يا بوي سبيسيفي מצווה לאכול ביום הכיפורים לארבעת בסעודה זה מצווה תאית אני אוהב יום כיפור זה גמור את זה ברוכלס עם יומה yeah and now in the midst of the eid they eat a lot they eat more than one meal okay more than one meal agad the ramah says asur litanot go afilu tanit chalom right we know that even on Shabbos you're allowed to have a tanit chalom if someone had a bad dream and you want to do a tanit chalom a fast for a dream see even on Shabbos you're allowed to do that yes the true afterwards do another fast besides it but the Tanit Chalom even on Shabbos you could do it but on Erev Tishu on Erev Yom Kippur Asur to fast it's ממש Asur okay so the Mishnah Berurah mitzvah lechol the mitzvah to eat what do we learn that from it says in the Pasuk v'inisem v'snafshay sechem v'tishol ha'chodesh ba'erev you should have inui like suffering right for the nefesh on the 9th of the month in the evening. You should have said 9th of the month in the evening, that's when you should fast. And that says you should fast and 9th, well, what's the difference? And there you are. Okay. Yeah, it looks like you have to fast on the 9th. You don't fast on the 9th. That's on the 10th of Tishrei, that's when you fast. Not the Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei, not Tet, Yud. Yeah? So Chazal learned the Adrabah, that's what you see from Arach Ramashi in Sinai. The Adrabah mitzvah min atayor le'echol ve'er yom Kippur. The mitzvah from the Oraisa, the mitzvah, like the mitzvah to put on tefillin, and to keep Shabbat, the mitzvah to eat on Er Yom Kippur. The Ratzah, Kadosh Baruch Hu liten tzachar ve'ar achila ki'ilu itanu. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us reward. But this eating is if we fasted. Okay? Because when someone does a mitzvah and it's hard for him, he gets more schar. So now he's eating, it's as if he's fasting, so he gets a bit more schar. Okay. And even a person should learn less on Erev Yom Kippur so he could eat more. See, you know, the Chazanish used to have a candy in his mouth the whole day, on Erev Yom Kippur. And if someone
has candy in your mouth, all of them kippah?
What?
Who's supposed to have candy?
No, the Chazanish, he used to have a candy all the time in his mouth, and Erev Yom Kippur. Then he's Mekayem in the mitzvah. Every time that you eat, you always are eating, you're Mekayem in the mitzvah. So, one second, Tafresh Dalet. Okay. Yeah, of course, also the women have to eat, it says here. Yeah. Yofi. If someone wanted to fast on Erev Yom Kippur, you could fast all day besides the end of the day. He has to eat at least once, he has to eat. Sit down and have a meal, at least once. Okay. No. Now, you shouldn't eat meat that day. Only chicken, not meat. Okay, and Erev Yom Kippur we eat chicken, not meat. Okay. And also you shouldn't eat anything that because you don't eat the dairy is not so good to eat. Maybe bring it on later. No, what's that up? Dairy
foods.
What?
Salty foods.
Not talking about fast twice. Health, but not halachically. Garlic is not good halachically. It causes one's his seed. If you have more seed, then you can spill out chas v'shalom. And Yom Kippur doesn't want that to happen. But these foods, not so good. Also, meat is not so good to eat. And Yom Kippur because it causes the person to feel haughty. Chicken, you should eat chicken. It's like a Yom Tov. make a tablecloth in front of a tablecloth, a white tablecloth, and it's like a Yom Tov. Okay? And even if you eat everything you eat, have in mind doing a mitzvah. You're eating something, you're eating cracker, you're eating this or that. Have in mind to have a mitzvah. Okay. You should, some people, they even, for the Siddur HaMasechet, you should wear Shabbos clothing already. You wear your nice clothing already. And you take bread, and you make a motzi, like a Yom Tov. Okay? There's a mitzvah. Okay. To eat fish also, another Yom Kippur. Okay, but also, there's a minhag by Ashkenazim at least, they have kreplach. You know what kreplach are? It's a batzek, from dough, with meat inside. But not beef, chicken meat at least. Okay. So we don't need eggs, we don't need dairy. We have a little bit of coffee with a little bit of milk. Coffee with milk, I don't know why. Not to have like a dairy meal.
Okay.
It causes a person to have more seed and it could spill out from him and during Yom Kippur.
You need to have more
seed, sperm. We don't want that to happen. So, another halacha, and nofrim apneim b'erev Yom Kippurim. We don't do tachanun on erev Yom Kippur. It's a Yom Tov, and Yom Tov we don't do tachanun. We don't do tachanun on erev Yom Kippur, and we don't say lamnatzeach mizmor David between Asher Yuvel Tzion. That kapitel tefillin, we don't say that on erev Yom Kippur, and we don't say mizmor letoda, right in the middle, right after Baruch Shama. That's mizmor letoda. We don't say that on erev Yom Kippur, and we don't say a lot of slichas. We say very short slichas. One time, the 13 midas. Once. Very short, takes 5 minutes. We don't say Avinu Malkeinu. Some do say in the morning. Yeah. Why don't we say Lam Natseach? Because it says the word trouble in it. It's not a day of trouble, it's a day of tshuva. It's every day of tshuva, it's not a day of trouble. Why don't we say Mizmor LeTodah? Mizmor LeTodah is instead of bringing the Korban Todah. The Korban of thanks. Thanks offering. Thanks offering. How long could you eat it?
A day and a half
until midnight. So now if you bring the Korban now, what happens? It's gonna go beyond the time, then it's gonna go to the garbage. You're causing it, this Korban, if they don't finish it before them Kippur, to go to the garbage. You can't cause that to happen. Therefore we don't say the psalm in Tehillim, which resembles the Korban. So we don't say Mizmor LeTodah on Erev Yom Kippur. Yeah. Some say Avinu Malkeinu in the morning, some don't say. But in Mincha, no one says Avinu Malkeinu on Erev Yom Kippur. So there's a minhag called Minhag Kaporos. You heard of Minhag Kaporos? Do Kaporos?
Right, with the chicken.
Chicken. So listen to what the Shulchan Aruch says, and then you'll be shocked, maybe. מה שנוהגים לעשות כפרה בערב יום כיפור, this minute to do כפרה on ערב יום כיפור, and to shech תרנגול, right? A rooster or a male, they say שם פסוקים, says the Shulchan Aruch, יש למנוע המינה. The Shulchan Aruch says, you shouldn't do this minute. The Shulchan Aruch says, did anyone never hear the Shulchan Aruch? What? Says the Rambam, ויש מהגאונים שכתבו מנהג זה לאד הגאונים 1,000 years ago, more than that, 1,200 years ago, said, no, we do this מנהג. And also many of the אחרונים say, we do this מנהג. And that's the מנהג, and you shouldn't change, and it's a very old מנהג in Am Yisrael, and that's what you should do. And you take a male, and he has laws for it. Take a male for a male. Male rooster. A rooster for a male. And you take for a female, you take a, what's it called? A rooster is a male, right?
Right.
A hen is a female?
Right.
So you take a hen for a female. And for a pregnant lady, you take two chickens. One, a male, because maybe she has a male if she's carrying a boy. And you take a female, which will cover her hen if it's a girl. Okay? ותרנגולים לבנים. We choose דווקא, we try to choose white ones, white chickens. Right? But it says in the pasuk that your sins will be like, will change from red to white. Then white is purity, it's pure color, no sin. That's why also we wear white, one of the reasons we wear white on Yom Kippur. Like our sins should be all white, whitened out. Also to remind us of the day of death, that they'll wrap us up with tachrichim. ונהגו ליתן הכפרות לעניים, the minhag is afterwards to give the kaparot to the poor people, or to sell them and to give the money to the poor people. ויש מקומות שנוהגים ללך על הקברות, there's some places that they know to go to Uman, they need to go to cemeteries, on Erev Yom Kippur, and to give tzedakah over there, and it's also a good minhag. And you should shech the chicken immediately after the kaparos. Okay. And the insides, you throw out so other birds will eat it. Two reasons. First of all, doing chesed with other animals, we're going to eat it, birds or whatever. And second of all, chickens, a lot of times they eat from stolen parts. Stolen, it's not theirs, it's not the owner's food. They just eat whatever it is. So you don't want to have that as a kapala from stealing.
So is that in
Kapala? No, I have Yom Kippur, we're here.
That's right.
Yeah. Why does the Shulchan Aruch say not to do this minhag? He says it's Darke Amoiri. Oh, I see you got your ticket.
You saw it?
I saw it, yeah.
You haven't seen it?
It's a shame, you know where to go. We need to go to Yom Kippur, kapos. So the Shulchan Aruch says not to do kapos.
Not to do it at all?
At all. Why? He says it's minhag ha-moiri. It's a minhag of the goyim, right? Like you put it on the chicken and not on you. But, we said already, it's a very ancient minhag and everyone should do it. And if you can do it on chickens, it's better.
Right.
Because then a person has to think, whatever going on now, right now with this chicken, I'm supposed to be there instead. Like a korban, that's why I think we give a korban to Beis HaMikdash. I have to be there instead. Hashem have mercy and he put it on this cow.
It's harder to do that with money than to think that. You can't think that with money.
Money, yeah, what do you think? And of course, he doesn't do tshuva, what?
Well, same thing, because you give the money to the poor just like you give a kitchen.
Yeah, right, but you can't think of the money as the same way this money going for. I should. Maybe, yeah. I should be,
but, yeah. Other purposes.
Yeah, no, of course. I do with money. Rav Aruch has money and he brings it down. Some people do with fish.
Fish?
Yeah. Some people say not to give the chicken to the poor people. If you get offended, he says, what, you give me your sins? I don't want your sins. You buy a soup. But usually they do, big organizations do it, and they give it to a yeshiva or to somewhere, not so much to private people. So it's not much that I go down.
So how do you do with fish?
You take a fish in water, in a bag of water or with a bucket, and you do the kapara to do this, and you can do it with the fish also.
And then
shuck
the fish?
You don't
shuck
the fish.
We just put
it
back in water?
Then you take a thing and you bop it on the head. And then you think, this is what you need to do to me. You never saw they do to the fish? You saw, no? They have a bat. You ever saw a bat of fish?
No.
Oh, usually you buy only dead fish.
Yeah.
Ah, you should.
The truck goes around the big tanks. So
right,
the fish.
Right, yeah.
I've seen that, but
so
I've never seen
those. My father told me
once.
My father told me once he was coming home from the market in Petah Tikva. There was a lady in front of him, walking with a huge, just left the fish store. He bought a fish that he bopped on the head, but I guess it wasn't hard enough. And the bag was waggling.
Wiggling.
She had a live fish in her bag. Anyways, it says in Mishnah Berurah here, the best time to do kapparas, the best time, is early in the morning, Anel Yom Kippur, meaning the last part of the night, Anel Yom Kippur. 4 o'clock in the morning, Anel Yom Kippur is the best time to do it. Yeah? Then, there's most mercy in the world. Everyone knows that that's the best time of mercy in the world. From after Chatzot, basically. Until the morning, that's the best time of the night. Best time of the 24 hours, the Chal. And therefore, you should, today, you have to put, we used to have a guy come around, a sheikhet, tell him, come to my house at 4 o'clock and we'll do it. So you have to have a light over there, because he has to see what he's doing. He can't shift in the dark.
So the Kippur about Shabbos is shift.
Yeah.
So you want to do it Friday morning.
Right.
Before Shabbos, on Friday.
That's the best time. You could do it any time between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Anytime during Rosh Hashanah Kippur is good. And Adrabah, sometimes places, especially in our days also like this, it's mess, right? And there's a lot going on there. It's better to do it earlier. Why? Because the Shechita should be kosher. If there's too much going on, the Shechit don't have it. He didn't sleep for 10 hours. He's been working nonstop. He can't shake the light well. This is a balagan. He should do it when he's appropriate, when he's in Okay, he says it here in the Mishnah, I'm not making it up. Yeah. So, but you could also just take money for that reason, because maybe if the shechem doesn't come out good, it's like not the kapolas. So money also is very good, he says here. Take money, you say, the kaparati. Yeah, you don't want to have on your head now that your chicken is not kosher because of this all going on. Now some poor guy is eating a not kosher chicken for Erev Yom Kippur or whatever. A lot of people, that's why they don't want to do it on chickens. And he says, Mr. Bozo, they can do it on money.
And that money needs to be the cost of the chicken?
No. There's no amount. Depends how much your life is worth. How much you estimate your life. Whatever you got, you can give. It's good to give chai, you know, it's a good simon to give chai, or 10 times chai, or whatever a person has. One year, I remember, I didn't have anything. I had only a girot in the house. So I did the chaya gurot, it's not so much, right? Shekel 80 for each one. Very perfect. So that's what I had. Baruch Hashem. No complaints. Yeah.
Do people feel pressure? I mean, if you're a rich man, you don't feel pressure. But if you're poor, and you feel like you're not adequate because you don't have enough money.
No one checks how much you're giving.
What?
No one is checking how much you're giving. No one's checking it. You give what you give.
How do you give it? Anonymously? In a box? You stick it in
the box? A lot of times, right, there's a mitzvah in Erev Yom Kippur. So on the way to the mikvah, every mikvah in this country, there's booths to give. There's organizations. You decide which one you want to give to. I did it once. I was standing at a booth like that. How old was I? 15 or 16. They gave me a 20% or something. Wasn't so much. Long time ago. Okay. You said this. Yeah. If someone doesn't have enough money to do a few chickens, you can buy one chicken. Fine, you can do that one chicken for the whole family. Yeah? Same chicken, you do for himself. Then you can do for other people. The same thing. You're allowed to. It's good if you can take one for this one, one for that one. Two for his pregnant wife, whatever it is, yeah. But you can do it also with one. And by, yeah. For himself, he says, we say, ze chalifati, ze tmurati, ze kaparati. Three times. You do around that. Ze chalifati, but this is instead of me. Ze tmurati, also another word for instead of me. Ze kaparati, this is my kapara. This chicken or money. Chicken should go to shefting, right? To death. But the money should go to tzedakah, and I will go into good life. It says in the mafzal, you could say it in English. It's just a midnight. Yeah? Say in English. It's a yamu. You don't have to say it in Lashon HaKodesh. There's no meaning to read the Hebrew text over there. Yeah? By the way, chalifati, tmuati, and kaparati, right? Instead of me, basically, right? In my kapara, Chet, Tav, Kaf, which is, I can't pronounce this, but it's the name of an angel. Chet, Tav, and Kaf. which he provides life. Through Hashem makes this angel, he's the one who, when Hashem decides who's going to get life, this angel is in charge of that, providing the life. Okay? If you don't have white chickens, you don't have to go crazy now to go look for white chickens. That is already the way of the goyim. No, dafka white, you have to have white. White is a good simon. You have to have a white chicken. You could have also a colorful one. You said that? With a big color.
How many colors do chickens come in?
A lot.
Many, many.
Yeah.
I've been to Costa Rica, and this guy, Hashem Allah, is Goy. The guy, Goy. He had his backyard. His fun was to have fights between two chickens. Have you ever heard of these young people?
Cock fighting.
Yeah. So now, beautiful chicken. And he shaved them over here, and he made the thing like that. And all kinds of color. Really interesting. Shem Yarachem.
I thought they were only born. I thought they only had two colors, natural colors. Brown.
Brownish. No, there's green, there's like reddish.
Is it a natural color?
Yeah.
At least 20 or 30 different
varieties. Yeah, there's all types, all kinds, all this. Anyways.
Just Google chickens.
I don't know what else is. So we said this all is good. What was that? The other thing that we didn't say. A lady under. We said training. A lady did also for the fetus, right? But a pregnant lady digs also for the fetus. But if it's under 40 days of the pregnancy, and I'm talking about 40 days from the night of the mikvah, so she, even though the sick or whatever, the blood test says that she's pregnant, you don't do kapalas for the fetus. After 40 days, then you do. Even though the halacha, scientifically she's pregnant. Not considered under 40 days, not considered pregnant. After 40 days, that's pregnancy. 40 days from the night of the mikvah. That's how we count it. By the way, it's not something cool. How do you say pregnancy in the Lashon HaKodesh? Herayon. Herayon is pregnancy. Also Ibu, also Herayon. Herayon is Gematria 271. So they say if you count 271 days from the night of the mikvah, that's the date of the birth. The doctors calculate things otherwise. They go for the period or something, I don't know. Whatever they do. 38 weeks of pregnancy. Doctors say 40 because they count 2 weeks early. They count to the death. So
both men and women can do kapara.
Yeah.
Do you have to be over the age of 13 for a boy, the age of 12 for a girl, or? You have to be like an adult.
Usually the kid, the father does for his children. For yourself, you say this is my kapara and mine. For him, you say his.
He goes over the heads of the children?
Yeah.
Girls and boys?
Yeah.
Perfectly in a box.
You don't want poop the on mess. Your head, right?
You don't want the mess. It's a real mess. And keep the cats away.
If someone did kapara and they shucked it and it wasn't good as shechita, right? As long as you give the tzedakah to the anim, that covers it. It doesn't have to take another chicken. You have to give the tzedakah to the anim.
So what do they do with the trash chicken? Just give it to
you? Give it to the goy to eat. Sell it to him, I don't know. But if the problem was the shochet made the problem, he didn't do the job well, then you have to bring another thing. If you checked it and something happened in the lungs or whatever, it wasn't kosher, but you don't have to do another one. But if the shochet did the mistake, he has to bring another chicken for him.
Well, we're talking about live chickens.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you switch to dead chicken?
He kills them afterwards with his knife. His bracha, he killed them.
Yeah. Well, we're finished. After we do it, we're finished with it. You can do it.
He does it on the spot.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
That's why it's so important to have them in the box and safe and sound, and if they won't get injured.
Some shochets
Especially if you have cats around, you know, you have cats around, it's dangerous.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, right? So, it says in the Shulchan Aruch like this. Ooh, very important halacha. Talking about now a person has to appease his friend on Erev Yom Kippur. There's four paragraphs here. Aleph. Averot shebenam chaveru en yom kippur mechaper ad sheyefaisenu. Sins that between a person and his fellow friend, Jew. Yom Kippur does not atone until a person appeases, and then Yom Kippur will atone for his sin. When a person is appeased, when a person appeases, we'll see in a second the end of the story, right? When a person is obligated to go and appease his friend. I'm not talking about even if he just said something to him not nice, that also has to have to follow. Not only if you cause him harm, even if you just called him a name, I don't know what. Yeah. He needs to appease him. And if he doesn't
accept.
Get appeased by doesn't accept his appeasing by the first time, he has to go twice, three times, and each time we should take three people with him and say, I did so and so. Unless the person will be embarrassed if everyone knows what he's done to him. The person who was hurt will be embarrassed, so then you don't have to know what he did.
What if, like, you don't know, like, that you hurt someone and, like,
you don't know, so
something and I didn't, like, know that, you know, you've offended.
So what could you do?
I'm saying, like, it did, like, still count, like, if, like, he still has, like, something against me, because, you know, something like that.
If you don't know specifically, so what could you do?
Isn't her general?
We say before we were asleep that we forgive everyone. Hopefully, everyone will say it every night. And that's all.
Yeah. Isn't her general saying that you say, you know, like, if I've caused you any offense,
yeah, you should
me.
Do that. Yeah, but if you know something specific, it doesn't help to do that. Tell the person.
You have to specify what you.
If it won't hurt his feelings again, if you say it, then let's say he doesn't know. Doesn't know of it. And you can go tell, and then you can cause them all to be upset. Then you do in general. What if there was something between you and he knows what you did, and there's just a fight between you? So then you should go to your neighbor upstairs and say, I forgive you for everything. Yeah. No hard feelings. Let's be good people, that's all. Yeah, and last, we'll see in a second, if it causes a person, if I will forgive him, he will continue doing bad things, I don't have to appease him. In my heart, that should be fine, I forgive whatever, it doesn't make a difference. But outside, I said, no, I don't forgive you. If I know I'm going to say I forgive you, he's going to continue doing bad deeds because of this, so I don't forgive him. In the heart, I should feel that, yeah, I don't have any anger over him. But outside, you tell him, no, maybe then he'll do tshuva.
You mean something like someone who's constantly talking in shul? Or just some other major?
Yeah, we need an example. I don't understand this.
I'll tell you, for example. If the person's stealing from me, okay?
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, I stole from you, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And I know he's not serious, because he's stealing for years already. He's going around and he's taking and this and that. Right? And then I'll tell him, yeah, I forgive you. He'll continue with his bad deeds. What if I tell him, you know what, I don't forgive you. And your kippur is not going to forgive you. And you're going to go to hell. Okay? And then maybe he gets a little bit of shock. So then you don't have to forgive him. That situation, you don't have to forgive him.
He's trying to give him tzokacha.
Yeah. That he will do tshuva.
By not forgiving him, you're giving him tzokacha.
Right. Then you're not obligated to forgive a person. A person usually should forgive anyone who asks for forgiveness. Unless he knows that this person is continuing with his bad deeds, he's asking for forgiveness. He's afraid of him.
Kippur. But how do you know he's going to continue or not? Maybe the next morning he's going to do tshuva.
Right, so the next morning he comes again. That's what we say. Inside the heart, he forgives. But outside, it'll show him a harsh face. Yeah. More than three times, you don't have to go to give forgiveness. Yeah? But if a person asks three times with three people in front of a person and he didn't forgive, you should take 10 people and say, I ask from this guy forgiveness for I did something not good to him, and he's not forgiving me. So, I think 10 people will know this. I'm queen.
You get 10 men together and you say that?
Yeah.
What's that do for you?
Now you're a queen. You did what you could do. The person's not forgiving, it's his own problem. Shamayim, they'll take care of him already. But a rav, if the person's rav, and not talking about his rebbe, his big rebbe, anyone who taught him Torah, he has to ask forgiveness until even 100 times, until he forgives him. But if someone, there's another case where someone who hurt someone's feeling, and the guy comes and says, if he has forgiveness, and you don't have to forgive. Another situation, what situation? Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra, and then someone, he says something about someone, so he talks about someone, he has a story that this guy's a thief. Okay? And because of this, and let's say it's true or not true, it doesn't make a difference. Because of this, you give him a bad name, Shemra, until today, the guy's suffering from this. People don't want to do business with him, people don't want to marry his children, all kinds of things. In that situation, you don't have to forgive the person. If you were hurt by a person, it's continuous. One sin that he did 20 years ago is continuous till today. You don't have to forgive him. You could forgive him. You should forgive him. You don't have to. You're not obligated to forgive him. Because it's words are very, very harmful. But the Gemara says that someone who ma'avir amidotav, someone who, even though it's true he shouldn't forgive and everything, someone who overcomes and he forgives from Shammayim, they'll overcome all the sins. They won't look at them, they'll give them a good year. So it's worth it to forgive it anyways.
It can't just be in the mind or in the words, it has to be in the heart also.
Can't, sure. Not to have any negative things to have.
Sincerely.
Any horrible story?
Yeah.
Listen to this, a lot of Muslims. The story, there was two boys in yeshiva. They were best friends. Teenagers. Best friends, like everyone spoke about this friendship, these guys always together. And then there was something he said by some one of them, and another. You understand? And there was a little bit of a crack between their friendship. And then the other people saw that there's a little crack, and some people they like fire, they like balagan. Said about you, and they caused all kinds of balagan, and they caused separation between them completely. They didn't even talk to each other. One side wanted to be better, one side the other, and they were both very sorry for them. And then one of the boys was getting married, and the other boy said, well, I'm not going to go, everyone's going, I'm also going to go. And then the boy took him, and the chassan took him, and it was Zan, dance with him, it was good, they felt good, they hear it, Hashem. But they didn't say, we're sorry from one to each other, he spoke against him, he spoke against him. And years passed, and one night, this friend, not the one who got married, the other one, he also got married, I say Reuben and Shimon, okay. And he went to sleep, and he dreams that he sees, he doesn't know what happened with his friend. He sees his friend talking with another friend when there's a yeshiva. And they're pointing at him, and say, yeah, two horrible things happened to me, we don't have children. One of them, one of his wife had a miscarriage, another one, I don't know, something else, and because of him, he could fix it, and they're pointing at him. At the dream, you see that they're pointing at him, he could fix it. And he woke up scared, didn't know what's going on, it's a real dream, so real. He went to the koilo, he's trying to learn, he couldn't focus. So he went to a big rabbi here in Yerushalayim, and he told him the story, and right away the Rebbe said, it's a true dream. You have to find him and ask forgiveness and then make everything okay. And this Rebbe is known as, he's always said, if people come with dreams, he says, dreams, you dream on, you know, it's not true and everything. But here, he said right away. So he didn't know what was going on. He found out his telephone number. And he called him, he said, it's this. Oh, what do you want? Yeah. I want to meet you and it's urgent. Okay, where can we meet? Good, we'll meet in a few hours. I'll come to your city, you live in a different city. We'll meet in the Shtiblach. Fine. He's sitting there and he told him, I dreamt a dream, I have to tell you this. He tells the dream. And he burst out crying. He says, yeah, we had these two things. This dream was true. We had this problem. And yesterday, and I always are asking Hashem that, I don't know, show me the my wife went to the cottage yesterday, and she asked Hashem, show me the right way, what's wrong, why are we having this miscarriage, why this happened, that, all kinds of things, why, what's the fix, what's the tikkun that we need to do? Because some big rabbi told him, things that happen like this, it's a tikkun, you have to do something is, you did something wrong in this lifetime that you have to fix, that's what's happening to you. They didn't know what. And then he met a friend from Yeshiva, the friend that he saw in the dream. And he said, do you remember that fight? Maybe you have to fix something with him. Maybe, who knows, 20 years passed, 10 years, whatever passed, but maybe this is the problem. And then you called me, so he said, so let's say to each other, that each one will say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you three times. And they said, I had nothing in your heart, and he said, I had nothing in your heart against you. And next year he had a son. True story.
What happened? At the end,
he had a son. The next year, he had a son. This guy with the miscarriages, he had a son. So you see the power of forgiving. Not to have, not only not to forgive, not having anything on the heart. It's hard. It's hard sometimes, yeah. But that person is suffering in this world. In this world, because of a kfeda of something that happened 20 years ago. There are many stories like this, but this story is just read. It's a chashuv. So, okay, tomorrow, learn. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday, we learn more halachas about that, and then we're probably going to meet only. I don't know, maybe after Shana, after Sukkot, I don't know. Maybe, if there's people here, I'll be here. Why not?